I'm Michael Knowles here to tell you that Rules for Retrogrades, the book and the show, are out now, and you absolutely need to check it out before the Thought Police confiscate all of it and lock you away.
Rules for Retrogrades out today. Counter disruption. We're disrupting the plans of the radicals. Everyone pick up a copy if you don't already have one. And if you do have one, please leave a review in all the relevant places so that we get it in the hands of all the people that need it. Rules for Retrogrades. Rise. Yeehaw!
What's up, Parish Orphans and Retrogrades? Timothy Gordon here with a special post-election episode where I introduce you to the man on the screen next to me, Mr. Sean Farish, the founder of Loud Majority. What's up, Sean? Thanks for being with me.
Hey, Tim. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you are an interesting guy because you started in Long Island there, the Strong Island, quite the movement that gained traction and, because of big tech, lost traction almost overnight, right? You started less than 3 months ago, and you guys really got rolling on behalf of President Trump, and then big tech shut you down time after time, right? What's the story with that?
Yeah, well, it started on September 6th with a small parade out of a town here on Long Island called Copaig. We took it to another town called Patchogue, and then we ended it in Shirley. It was the first thing. I just kind of posted it on Facebook, and it kind of blew up a little bit. I thought we get about 50 cars. We got about 300. So I was blown away by that turnout. Little did I know it. But right after that, we formed a group. The group was called Long Island Trump Parades, which I then changed the name to Long Island Loud Majority. Kind of just a play on the words, a silent majority, right? It's, if we believe we're in the majority, I don't believe there's a reason we need to stay quiet. So if we're in the majority, we might as well make some noise. That's exactly what we did, what we continued to do. And then right after the election, literally, like, I think it was Thursday, the November 5th, they shut down my personal Facebook page. The other two admins that run the team with me, Kevin and Heather, they shut them down as well. They took it down, the Long Island Loud Majority group of 38,000 members, like this, gone.
Wow.
We made a new page right there. I made a new page. I started a brand new group right in front of it. Said this happened at a rally. It was crazy. At one of the Belmore rallies, everybody stormed my truck and said, "The group's gone." And I was like, I know. Let me make a new one, right? So I put a new account up. I made a new group. That group got 10,000 members in about 24 hours. Everything came back. And then they just started canning my personal account. So the group is still there. LILM 2.0, but we really don't use Facebook anymore because they're just not letting us. You know, it sucks yard. He says, "You're not allowed in my yard." There's nothing we can do. It's terrible. What we have to live with, but that's just, I mean, so such are the times, right?
Crazy. That's crazy. You weren't given any kind of justification. Not that I'm foolish enough to believe that there would be a half legal one, but, or half licit one, but did they offer anything?
My account, my first account, was so, I mean, it was crystal clean. You could eat off of it, right? Yeah. I'd never even been to Facebook jail. I went from no record to the electric chair in seconds.
yeah.
I think I had one warning, I think, because I posted a whistleblower's name. Oh, you can't do that. From the Ukraine, great. Ukraine impeachment nonsense. But that was the only thing I did. And they warned me. I didn't do anything else. I'd never been restricted, nothing. And then right after the election, gone. I said, "Stop the steal." You can't say that. You know, you can't say "stop the steal." So
really,
canned it. Yep.
Because on YouTube and on Twitter, I don't think I was getting censored that hard for the "stop the steal" stuff. I led a "stop the steal" rally in Baton Rouge because it's semi-local to me here. And then I was in D.C. I don't think you were in D.C. because you're leading another Long Island rally, right? On the
went up Albany the day after the Million MAGA March. Now, if it was up to me and I didn't have to work on that Saturday, I would have been at both. A couple of our guys and gals, they were at the Million MAGA March, and then they came all the way to Albany, which was really impressive. These people are fired up. I will say they're fired up, and it's not even about Trump anymore. I mean, it is, but it's really, it's about patriotism.
Yeah.
The one with Andrew Cuomo, and there's nothing we like more than sticking it to that guy. He's tried to shut us three times.
Mm-hmm.
That day after the Million MAGA March, we actually went to Albany. We came back south from Albany back to Long Island. We stopped in a little town called Mount Kisco, where Andrew Cuomo lives. We paid him a visit at his house.
I saw
bunch
that.
Of loud folks with the music, you know, we will rock you. Then we went to Crooked Hillary's house. We started singing "We're Not Going to Take It" in front of her house, and Chelsea Clinton tweeted about us. So, you know, there's that.
I saw that.
And they actually, I don't know if you know this, they bought Democrats. If you go to liloudmajority.com or longislandloudmajority.com, it redirects you to Joe Biden's website. I don't know if you knew that. But they bought the domain from underneath us. So clearly, we did enough to the point where they felt like they had to start stealing domains. So we'll have our own website up very soon. But they stole domains, and it directs you to Biden's website. So it's insane.
Wait, so just run me through something real quick. I saw those two or three stories, and that's when I decided I should get Sean on the show. But I'm not an East Coaster, right? I'm a West Coaster by birth. I got canceled in California. I moved here to Mississippi because I saw the wave before it came. But Long Island is quite conservative. Or where are you getting all this support from?
So Suffolk County, which is basically Eastern Long Island, is red.
Yeah.
We turned it a deep red this year. We did a really good job with that. We got Lee Zeldin elected. Andrew Garbarino, who replaced Peter King, got him elected. He's my representative. Nassau County, we flipped red this year from blue in 2016. Although now I'm reading reports that it might have actually flipped back to blue because they found all of a sudden ballots everywhere.
You can't
walk out your front door without tripping over a box of ballots. They're everywhere.
No, you can't.
They're just finding them. They're still finding them.
There.
It's fun. I mean, they stopped counting New York. It was at 66% counted on election night and stopped. I said, what the hell is going on? So, but Long Island is generally, Eastern Long Island is generally conservative. Nassau County, not so much. But we have our most fervent and passionate support in Nassau County at Belmore Train Station, Levittown, Long Beach, Rockville Center, East Meadow. A lot of these places are, obviously Belmore itself, extremely passionate. For the conservatives there are so loud. There's just something else. It's like, I don't know if it's living in a blue county and bringing that much more heat, but I call the Belmore train station the loudest street corner in USA because it is. You know, we're out there with Bill. We'll be out there tomorrow night, Thanksgiving Eve. We're doing Thanksgiving Eve at Belmore because it's loud. It's fun. Everyone has a great time. It's, you know, like I said, it's taking on a life of its own. It's like a family now. We all just want to keep coming out to keep seeing each other.
Right. Right. I'd love to make one of your rallies. I took my family out for the Million MAGA March, and that's a 14-hour drive in the RV. I was considering trying to double up on your Albany rally. I forgot it wasn't Long Island, but it was a lot of driving, but just seems like a lot of cool people at the very least world historical. It's just a lot of cool people at the most world historical, which is kind of where I want to go in this interview. What could groups, truly grassroots sprouted groups like yours, Loud Majority, what could they do? What's the goal? What's the hope at this point when the Trump administration, and I guess Trump himself, seems to be rolling over, which is very disappointing?
So I don't think he's actually rolling over as much as it's being made out that he's rolling over. I've got the message or the letter sent from the GSA, General Services Administration. One of the biggest things that Emily Murphy had sent, I could read right from it to the Honorable. Honorable with air quotes, Joseph R. Biden Jr. As you know, the GSA Administrator, who's Emily Murphy, does not pick or certify the winner of a presidential election. Instead, the GSA administrator's role under the act is extremely narrow. To make resources and services available in connection with a presidential transition. As stated, because of recent developments involving legal challenges and certifications of election results, I have determined that you may access the post-election resources and services described in Section 3 of the Act upon request. The actual winner of the presidential election will be determined by the electoral processes detailed in the Constitution. And then she proceeds to tell you what election, what Section 7 is. Section 7 of the Act and Public Law 116-159, dated October 1st, 2020, which provides continuing appropriations until December 11th, 2020, makes, looks like it says $6,300,000 available to you to carry out the provisions of Section 3 in the Act. In addition, $1 million is authorized pursuant to Public Law 116-159 to provide appointee orientation sessions and a transition directory. This is all money. This is funding for services and employees. This is because if they had withheld this money, you would have dealt with a firestorm of, you know, he's hurting people. There's people that are working and they're not getting paid. Yeah. Donald Trump has tweeted about this Emily Murphy situation. He's not conceding. Not. He has clearly he's tweeted as such. I will never concede to fake ballots and Dominion. So he's not conceding. I know that they're portraying it that way. I know that there was this whole thing with Sidney Powell that I believe was blown up a little too much. I mean, I'll admit it. When it happened, I was like, what is that?
What is that? Yeah.
She never took a dime from the Trump campaign. So she was never, quote unquote, from a technical standpoint, on the Trump legal team. So, well, what about the press conference? She appeared at a press conference because she's pursuing things relevant. But she was never on salary or on payroll, the Trump campaign, Trump legal team. This has been independent, as is Lynn Wood. All right. The media and a lot of people have been coming at Sidney Powell every time she says something. Either she's a conspiracy theorist or she's QAnon or she's, you know, a UFO person or she's whatever, right?
Yeah.
Coming at her, she goes, she's getting close to something or else they wouldn't waste their time. And I think with this one, with the Trump campaign says, well, she's not on our salary, she's not on our team. What I think that does is it clarifies her role and clarifies her abilities when it comes to what avenues she may or may not pursue. I don't know the statutes. I don't know any of that. I'm saying it is possible that a lawyer who is being funded by a presidential campaign or a presidential candidate may not be necessarily allowed, or it may be frowned upon for that lawyer to pursue certain avenues that she would be pursuing had she not been an independent attorney seeking these answers and pushing these cases. So she's independent. She's not on there. She's not on the salary of presidential candidate. She's not being paid by the campaign. Now she has, I would imagine, a little more free reign, a little more reach, a little more ability to go down certain avenues that she may not have been able to go down being on a campaign's salary.
Yeah, look, I hope that's all right. I hope that's all right. And I'm not one of these people that's been jumping off. I don't think she's crazy. I want to see the Kraken. I've been tweeting about how people need to move away from the idiotic expression, show me the proof. I'm a non-practicing attorney myself. We're talking about the burden of persuasion, not proof. Proof is for geometry and logic. That's too high a standard, even in criminal law, which is a higher burden of persuasion. It's not proof. But here we're dealing with at the level of proving ballot fraud, electoral fraud, where you're dealing with either, depending on the particulars, preponderance of the evidence, which is a very low bar, or at most clear and convincing evidence standard, that's not that high. And what I keep trying to remind people is patience, patience, patience. We already have evidence from, like, Michigan on the night of November the 3rd, shutting down the election and having thousands upon thousands of votes just dumped off in the back of a truck when counting was shut down, counting resumes, and 100% of them are from Biden. That's strong circumstantial evidence. That's real evidence. Now, there's no such thing as legal proof, but that is strong evidence. All we need to do is let this thing play out. The Gore appeals process against Bush took 37 days. We haven't gone there yet, and it's six states instead of one. So I'm there, and I am getting frustrated, probably like you, Sean, with the conservatives that are probably never Trumpers in their heart that are trying to hurry this along or to concede. But I don't like some of the moves, including that Powell move that Trump has been making, the Trump team, for the last 4 days. I am made uncomfortable by the two moves that you mentioned.
Well, I think he had no choice with the General Services Administration. And like I said, when this came out, the media, like I said, they jumped on it. They were, you know, foaming at the mouth to say, there he is, he's conceding. I mean, do I want to hear that members of the administration are working on the transition? No, because I don't want there to be a transition. With that being said, I think this is just Trump basically saying, look, these are people that should be paid. And, you know, we can't withhold the money. And this is not a concession. It's just we're going to let these people continue to work and be paid. What with the Powell move, again, I don't know the motive behind it. I don't know if it was whether or not they want to set her free. I don't know if maybe something that she said scared them. I don't know if it's the fact that she started coming after Brian Kemp and the Republicans got to Trump and said, look,
yeah,
you know, she's coming after the party. And now if he folded to that, that's not good.
Yeah.
You know, he's never folded to the Republican Party before. You know, I don't know. I really feel like it's something that they agreed on, because Trump is still, again, talking about Dominion, and Dominion is the avenue that Sidney Powell's going down. So if there was a true divorce, he would be focused on the meaningful access, you know, the hundreds upon hundreds of affidavits. And I think something that's being lost on a lot of people, I realized this the other day, and I haven't heard many people talk about it. When it comes to all these affidavits, like why is there so much proof this year other than, you know, than other years? You have to remember, this guy spent the last 2 months of the campaign pushing people to become poll watchers, because I believe he knew games were going to be played in some of these states. So yeah, whereas you would normally have 5 or 6 poll watchers or whatever, there are now hundreds because he said do it. And it had nothing to do with security on election night. It had everything to do with having more eyes there to catch the cheating. And that's what happened. He flooded the system with eyeballs and caught them. We've got hundreds of sworn affidavits under oath, you know, and penalty of Rudy Giuliani is pointing it out. So I do think there's a certain aspect. Look, I'm not going to say the guy's the 4D underwater chess player that everyone says he is. He's human. But I do think with these moves that there's a certain amount of calculation. He may not be able to divulge that strategy right now, and he shouldn't. None of our business, really. It's none of the world's. He's got to do everything what he, you know, keep the leaks. You know how things leak. He's got to keep it tight. But I don't necessarily think the Powell move. When it first happened, I was like, what is that? And I saw the explanations and saw Trump still talking about Dominion. You realize it's not a breakup as much as it is. Maybe it's, you know, let's keep our distance from one another. So it doesn't appear to be collusion, right? the thing as an independent attorney, much like Lynn Wood. So I think.
Wait, I love everything you just said, Sean, everything, except the idea that it's none of our business. Let me make a couple points here. One, I had two shows with Michael Anton, former Trump security admin official, who wrote 2 months before the election an article called The Coming Coup, and he said, look, this is going to be a color revolution. They're going to use ballot fraud mixed with phase 2, the media calling it for him. And I guess phase 0, before even the ballot fraud, phase 1, was all of these major Democrat party bigwigs like Hillary, Al Gore, Biden himself said it a couple times, that no matter what, Biden would not concede victory, what they're accusing of Trump of right now. And on January the 20th, 2021, at 12:01 p.m., they would escort him with the 82nd Airborne Division out of the White House. That's really weird. So they knew that they didn't have a big lead on him. It's a color revolution. Michael Anton described it really strikingly. The ballot fraud mixed with the way that the popular media apparatus has been imposed on the American people to just say, move along. They knew that they couldn't win. Obviously, they didn't. And this is coming out for those who have eyes to see it, in precisely the way that Michael Anton wrote in the pages of American Mind, you know, now 2.5 months ago. So that's point number one. But point number two, which is a corollary, is if this is kind of like the election of 1800 between Jefferson and Adams, which is sometimes called the Second Revolution in America, and those guys were both base. They were both ballers. You know, Adams was slightly bigger government, but whatever. They, at least none of them were communists, which is what the left is nowadays.
Completely.
But we have to. It's a kind of electoral revolution at the very least. Electoral revolution. You do have to keep the troops' morales motivated, particularly when the GOP is so quick to collude with the communist left, the infiltrators in this country who have now taken the mask off. So I do think they need to be, instead of just saying cracking, 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 there does seem to be a lingering doubt in the minds of the faithful, like yours truly. Was she saying cracking too much without producing evidence? And at that point, did they give up on keeping the morale of the troops high since she wasn't doing it by disclosing the evidence?
Well, I don't know if, again, I don't know if they have given up on keeping the morale high. Trump is still, like I said, one of his most powerful assets is that Twitter account. I mean, it's retweeted 50,000 times every time he puts something up, at least. A lot of us will get notifications. I don't personally, but I'll go in there and check it and see what he's saying. It's the only way his message will get out unfiltered. And even now on Twitter, it's quite filtered with post after post saying election disputed,
yeah, disputed
fraud, blah, 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 you know. But in terms of his actual legal strategy, I don't want that being made public, because when you maneuver in the face of the enemy, it's easier for the enemy to know where you're going, right? There's other ways to get the morale up, and maybe they're leaning on people like us who are leading rallies in places like Baton Rouge, places like Long Island, places like Albany, you know, places like Georgia, where Alex Jones and Ali were down there last week. Yeah. And Golden Dome, the Gold Dome, I think was the name of the building there. That was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, they took over the state capitol. That was great. You know, and there's things happening all over the place. I mean, there was something that went on in California, one of the bluest of blue states. You know, things going on in Arizona, Michigan. You know, there was a big time Trump protest in Lansing, Michigan, I believe yesterday. You know, so it maybe. In their eyes, look, if I'm the Trump team, I love my base. I want my base to be there. I want them to have my back. But if I'm fighting through the courts on the election, I've got bigger things to worry about. It's time for the Patriot leaders to step up around the country and keep the morale high. Because what we've been doing since September 6th, not a very long time, but that's what we continue to do. That's why we're at Belmore every Thursday. That's why we're doing rallies every weekend. It's like, oh, what are you guys doing? The election's over. Yeah. Well, not over, actually. You know, and even if worst case scenario, we don't get back in the White House, you know, you've got January 5th in Georgia, we got to hold the Senate. And then, you know, and even if that doesn't work out, we don't comply with what they're trying to do. You just don't. It's civil disobedience. That's American. Look, during the first wave of shutdowns, Virginia Beach, they closed the beach. People went to the beach anyway.
Yeah.
We're going to the beach, whether you like it or not. Andrew Cuomo wants to tell us gatherings of 10. Or less, indoors and outdoors. So we took a picture with a sign that said, we identify as a group of 10 people or less. That's how this world works now, right? We can just declare things, right? We took a sign with hundreds of us, a picture with the sign. And guess what? We're going to mail it to them like a Christmas card. This is what we're doing. You know, it's going to be like that. You know, you want. So if they try and, you know, step on us, don't tread on me. You've been warned. And we're not going to comply. And we're going to make life very difficult for the incoming government, if the incoming government does try and pass things like the Green New Deal or massive, you know, illegal immigration influx or things like that. But we're going to make it very difficult for them to do so, because it's we the people that they serve. A lot of people have forgot that. We don't serve them. Government should operate in fear of the people, not the other way around. I should not be afraid to walk out of my house without a mask on, because I'm going to get fined $1,000. Government should be afraid to fine me $1,000 for something unconstitutional. And that's the kind of behaviors that we're trying to change the behavior like that. Not just here in New York. Let's set an example coast to coast. Loud. Voice it. Be vocal. Stand up. Because if you do that and you don't cede that ground, well, now you're not fighting for all that ground we've already lost. We already have enough ground to get back as it is. So we're going to hold the line and keep going. But as far as the Trump administration's legal strategy, I don't want that going out into the public. I would love to know. But that's got to be information that's so sensitive. I don't want that getting into the hands of CNN to try and spin it. I don't need them saying those who are involved in that to try and sink it. You know what I'm saying?
I got you, bro. I'm just saying he should be at the very least rallying. I think he should be rallying, and I think he should be making a daily public appearance or every other day or something. I just feel like he's been more holed up than we're accustomed to. I'm with you. Everything you're saying, I'm with. This is why I've been to two Stop the Steal rallies. I went to the national one. I'd love to go to a loud majority rally. That's why I want you on the show. I don't want conservatives capitulating to the corrupt GOP. Definitely not. Trump won. It's so obvious. Don't say proof, idiots. Say burden of persuasion. It's very easy. There's spates of evidence that can shift the burden of persuasion, like you said. Hundreds upon hundreds of pages of sworn affidavits under the penalty of perjury. I'm there. I'm just saying, I'd like to hear Trump saying this. I really was one of those guys. You're saying you were at first, too, that was shaken by the Sidney Powell thing on whatever that was, Saturday or Sunday, I think. And then And then whatever, the transition team, what could that mean? That doesn't mean as much as the GOP is saying. But how, this is a problem Jefferson was always up against. How does one make the public opinion slow down when it is quickening to the pace of the media technology? Like what I mean is, when you have a daily media technology, like a daily gazette, which is what they had that way in the high tech cities in Jefferson's day, people tended to linger on the news more. It was harder for the national media apparatus, which is, they are communist apparatchiks. That's beyond any doubt now. They know that all they have to do is paper us under story after story after story. And yesterday's news, 24 hours ago, is old news. People were saying yesterday, and I don't know when I'm going to air this, but people were saying right around the time that the bad news about the transition team capitulation came out, they're saying, oh man, 3 days ago I was feeling so good about Sidney Powell, and then the Trump team borderline divorced with her, whatever that is, and then this. And I was just thinking, wow, 3 days ago is not a long time. 72 hours is not a long time. And even a double weekly gazette, you know, you wouldn't even be getting the next episode, then the next issue of the gazette for 3 days. The media is moving too fast, and the enemy, the apparatchiks of the left who run that apparatus, have weaponized that. They just come out with five stories in the next hour to make people forget. How do we combat that without some sort of mustering of the troops, at least toward patience, hang with Trump? How do we do that?
Well, it's. I think this is going to have to be a word of mouth, organic message that's going to have to get out and under the radar, underground. It sounds crazy that this is what we're talking about in the United States of America, but this is how it is right now.
Yeah.
We tried to organize on Facebook. They shut it down. You know, Twitter, shadow banned. Parler doesn't. But, you know, it's a new platform, and there's a lot of things that have to happen to Parler for it to become mainstream. And a lot of users, Dan Bongino is obviously involved with it. That helps. As far as the Michael Anton article, The Coming Coup, Bongino did, I think, about three or four shows in a row about that article.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
It was incredible. You know, I listen to him every day. I mean, he's, you know, and when you brought it up, I was like, oh, I already know that. It's a great article to bring up, Michael Anton. So, but it's going to have to be a word of mouth. I told everybody the day after the election, I woke up, went to bed at like 4 a.m. Trump is leading in all the states. I woke up and all of a sudden he's down in Michigan. He's down in Wisconsin. What the hell happened? What? You find out that there was 140,000 ballots found at 4:30 a.m. in both states at the same time, all for one candidate. And you're like, oh, fraud. Okay, there it is. We were waiting for that. Right. Yeah. And then everybody in the group starts panicking. Oh, my God, this is horrible. And I said, you know what everyone needs to do is just turn it off.
Yeah,
that's what has to happen. I've been telling everyone, turn it off.
Yeah. Turn it off. Yeah.
Go find the information yourself from who you know you can trust. Guys like John Solomon, who will give you a straight, just fact-based. Here's the information as I know it. My sources are good. Boom, 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 boom. Get the news there. You know, just the news. That's justthenews.com. Get it from guys like Dan Bongino. Get it from people that you know you can trust. Do you want to turn on Newsmax because they've been covering things more favorably? That's cool, but be careful not to find yourself in an echo chamber, you know, where you start becoming not necessarily biased, but you're just listening to something because it feels good rather than it's actually good information. But it's a word of mouth. It's a, if we all collectively, 73, however many million of us, turn off the media,
yeah,
they literally can't affect you anymore. If you turn it off and we get the information to ourselves and then organize digitally, whatever it is, and continue to get that message out, whether it's through means of alternative media like a podcast, or it's through Parler, or it's on another platform for videos like Rumble, where there's not, which is also Bongino, which is not going to be censored. That's how we fight it. And that's how we can keep each other jacked up and fired up. That's how you fight it, by turning it off, walking away, literally, like Brandon Strzok says, walk away. Walking away from that communist propaganda arm known as the mainstream media, which now unfortunately includes Fox News, who has completely gone in the tank. And that started, I believe, right when Chris Wallace decided he was going to try and take over that debate. That's when that started.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's been bad for years, but that was a new low. I mean, that was unbelievable. And the whole outfit, almost, as far as I'm concerned. Fox Business is different. They got Lou Dobbs. I like Laura Ingraham, you know, a fellow Catholic. But even, I mean, it was surprising. The November the 4th, the 5th, the 6th, I turned on Tucker, and he was not talking with a sufficiently loud voice about the obvious electoral fraud. So, yeah, I've walked away. Well, you have a lot of good ideas. Here's what I do like: the idea of word of mouth, because it's never stale. It's a little slow, but it's never stale. It always works among human beings who are the rational, lingual, risible animals. I mean, we use our voice boxes to communicate rational content. This is what we do. So tell your boys out there about there's at least one Catholic channel who's not giving up, and it's Rules for Retrogrades right here. I mean, I hope you have them all watch the show. I don't know what day this is, Lair. I'll tell you behind the scenes, but we do need to link arms state to state, constituency to constituency, you know, anyone that's a patriot, you know, a son of liberty, as Sam Adams and Patrick Henry were called, from the North to the South, in, you know, the 1770s, we need to do the same.
Well, I can tell you, I agree with that. And I can tell you that firsthand, anecdotal evidence of word of mouth working. We don't have a Facebook group. Okay. I mean, we do, it's there. There's an account in there. I say this Donald account that's in there seems to know a lot what's going on. Wink, nod. So am I able to get information to the group? Yes. But what I am seeing in that group is a lot less interactions with the events. When I used to post them under my name, it would blow up in the day and it would be like, wow, look at all these things. People are barely interacting with them anymore, but they're still showing up. This last weekend, we had a monster turnout. We wind up doing 200 turkeys, thousands of pounds of food, you know, for the food drive into Thanksgiving. And it was a lot of it exploded on Parler. But a lot of it was word of mouth. A lot of it was getting on a live stream and speaking, which is word of mouth. You're broadcasting it to people. You know, we're going to the rallies. We're telling people what's what, when's when, where we could find email, text, phone call, back to the days before Facebook, to be honest with you. And it worked. People turned out. People showed up. And now we're seeing it again. Likes, shares, interactions across all platforms for our event coming up on Saturday, which is going to go back through Nassau County. But again, we're seeing it again. 300 or so likes on an Instagram page and barely any responses on the Facebook event. But it's a screenshot of the Facebook event. You know what I mean? So everyone has the details and knows what to do. And so our plan with Loud Majority and what we want to do, and of course, state-to-state linking arms with those who are in it for the same reasons, don't want to lose the country. You know, on December 6th, on Sunday, we're going back upstate. And I've talked to groups in Westchester and the Hudson Valley. And these guys are locked in. They're ready to go. They're ready to join up with the Long Island group, who they've never met before. And we're going to wind up now, you know, on a state level, like you said, linking arms. What's to stop us from doing this in Kentucky? What's to stop us from doing a Loud Majority? It's not just a group anymore. I want it to be an ideology. Right? I want it to be this idea that don't worry about Antifa. You know, all right, if you don't want to lose your job, I get that. But don't worry about, you know, BLM or anything like that. Speak your mind. This is the United States of America. We're not bullied into suppression and submit because we say, I love the country and I stand for the flag. Right? Imagine that. But that's where we are. But that's not where we have to be. And we, the people, have the power to change that. And we're figuring that out. And I'll tell you, the energy is so fun. It's so pure. It's positive. It's rowdy, but not destructive.
Yeah,
not
once that we turn down the Eurozone. Yeah, one's stealing Jordans at these things. No one's hurting anybody. No property is defiled. Imagine that out of a peaceful protest. It is pure.
Because you're a fiery but mostly peaceful protest on CNN where the AutoZone's on fire and the CVS had its windows broken and Target is a mess. Yeah. And then they're having a block party on Andrew Cuomo's block. You know, but nothing got destroyed. We left. We cleaned up the garbage. We left it very nice. Okay. So that's a peaceful protest. Constitutional right. You know, the Constitution is still powerful. We can still use it to our advantage. We forgot that.
Yeah.
Because it's been weaponized and manipulated. But we understand the original intent. We understand what it meant, what it guarantees. Congress shall make no law. We will not be stuck under the heel of tyranny in the United States of America. That's what we fought to prevent when we founded this country. And we're not going to let that happen now. You know, our group won't let it happen in this state. And I hope from coast to coast, all 50 states, you know, Alaska, Hawaii, do it. Let's go. Alaska, a lot of majority. Let's start getting, you know, people out on snowmobiles doing rallies. I'm serious. Like, let's get creative. Let's make noise. Because if we don't make noise, like I said, if we stay quiet, we lose. We literally lose. And they think they went up. They're all quiet. They're ashamed. We're not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of being patriotic. I'm not ashamed of loving the United States of America. And the thousands of people that we see every week, they're not ashamed either. And it's contagious. A lot of people still tell me, hey, Sean, this is my first one. Anyway, 3 weeks after the election. How is your first one? How'd you find out about it? Well, I heard there was a Facebook group and then you guys moved to Parler and blah, 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 blah. I saw you on Parler and found out where to be. Great. Well, my friend told me, my neighbor told me, I don't have social media. My neighbor told me there's word of mouth.
Yeah.
People are still coming out for the first time. And it's incredible. And it will work. It will work. The will of the American people will not be stopped when we organize, link arms, and work together. It won't be stopped. It never has, and it never will.
Well, you got my full support. You know, I'm gonna wear my shirt. I don't know if you're formally associated with the Stop the Steal. You know, you mentioned Ali and all that, but I hope that there's a linkage of the arms and. Irrespective of what happens on December the 14th when the electoral colleges of the 50 several states meets, I hope this keeps going because it is, you're right, it's an ideology. It's like the Tea Party of 2010, 2011, except we need to keep it going in a way that the Tea Party stuff didn't. And I mean, anyone, I used to go out to Tea Parties myself. We need to... You know, there needs to be coalescence of all of these ideas, which are basically the same. Americanism is the squelching of tyranny, of governmental tyranny, and Americanism used in its best sense. There's a Catholic sense in which that's a dirty word, but I mean, America, everything that's beautiful about it is don't tread on me, the Gadsden flag. I'm really happy that you're doing that. I'm really happy to hear a positive report from you, Sean, and God bless you, man. And just let me know. Just text me privately if there's anything I can do to help. I'm saying that publicly, but I mean it sincerely. I want to help. I like what you're doing.
Well, I appreciate that. As far as Ali goes, I've been following him on Twitter for years. I'll be in D.C. on the 12th with our group. So we'll be back for, I guess, what looks like the sequel of what happened a week ago. So we will be there. We'll be there in large numbers. You know, if you're there, we'll link up. I'd love to introduce you to these guys. And whoever it is that may be down, I'm going to try and get the upstate crew to come down because we're going there the week before. You know, we want to get there and bring as much noise as possible. As far as what we could do to help, just don't lose faith. You know, stay loud. It's literally what it says in the back of the shirt. Just stay loud. That's it. That's all we want people to do is keep talking. There is no silence anymore. That's the biggest thing. What can I do to help? Stay loud. Read the back of the shirt and practice that.
Yeah.
And we'll be okay. We'll be okay if that's the case. I really appreciate you having me on, though. I definitely appreciate it. Thank you.
You're the man. And now, regarding December the 12th, the sequel to the Million MAGA March that took place two weekends ago that I brought my family out there for, I don't think I'm going to bring him back out. If I come out, it will be me alone. And that's because of what happened with Antifa. And it's because, yeah, I think at that point in time, the second one, it will be necessary for, as much as I supported people bringing their families, and I did it myself, we are marching around with two wagons with three kids apiece. If I come out there, it will be under the auspices of men linking arms. And maybe we need to plan it a little later in the day so that it guarantees we're going to be out there toward night and see who shows up. We're peaceable, but if the other side isn't, then so be it. I'm not bringing my family into that, but and I haven't committed to going yet, but that'd be a cool place for us to meet up, especially if you're bringing some of your Long Island and upstate boys. We need to talk about that. But God bless you, man. And I'm going to get any, before I put this video up, it'll probably go up on Thanksgiving Friday. And that's probably the day that everyone's watching this right now, unless something comes up to necessitate me premiering it quicker. But just send me any links you want. I'll put them in the show notes. People know to go to the show notes for any kind of meaningful linkage. And I like I say, send me a text if you want any kind of support. You got it from me.
Thank you, Tim. I really appreciate it.
God bless you, brother. And I was going to talk to you about the Stoics. I heard you like the Stoic philosophers, particularly Marcus Aurelius, who's based, as you know. Yeah.
He's got every answer. It's unbelievable.
No, he does. He does. Well, he's got Aristotle. So that's all you need.
My favorite is I use this all the time because I like to say, well, what did you think would happen? And I say it all the time. He says, never be surprised if a fig tree produces figs. Don't be surprised if you get wet when you jump into a swimming pool. If it's raining outside, you don't take an umbrella, you get wet, you can't be upset. You saw it was raining, right? So, it's funny things like that. I love, he's so in your face about it. Seneca too is hysterical, but Aurelius is so in your, it's not in your face, but it's just so painfully obvious reading it. And I'm like, that's right. You're just like, what have I been doing? And you start, that's a conversation I go on for hours about, but I do love the Stoics. I do. And I always say, trust the Stoics. And when people are looking for answers, especially with regard to, thought processes and logic, read them. They will not steer you wrong.
And especially, I'm going to add one thing. Aristotle, the Stoics get weaponized further and rationalized and clarified even further through the Scholastics, namely the angelic doctor. It's like giving Superman a pair of brass knuckles, channeling Aristotle and the Stoics through Thomas Aquinas. People here already know that, but you should, any of my friends, whether they're Catholic, Protestant, not Christian at all, that read Thomas, like, whoa, I did not know that this guy was this based. He's just a formidable experience reading Thomas, who's channeled all the best of the Greek and the Roman world, and then actually even the Islamic Aristotelian world as well. But this is a whole different conversation. Anyway, you're a good man, and I'm glad our mutual friend Joe connected us, and I might see you out the 12th, brother.
Let me know. We'll be there.
Okay. God bless you. Stay safe, and please don't stop doing what you're doing. You have all of my support.
Thank you, Tim. Thanks again. Stay loud.
You too.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.